Welcome to Note to Self. This is my personal takeaways and a weekly insights episode with me, Rachel J. Join me as I delve into what's going down, what's coming up for me, and everything in between. Let's go. Hi guys, welcome back to another Note to Self episode. These are some cathartic episodes, I feel, definitely for me. I hope these insights are helping you along your journey that we call life. Now, this week, it's not been as hectic as last week, which has been great. It's given me some headspace to kind of really think about some of the things that are coming up. And these few things just popped into my mind. So I'm going to talk about a few of these theories that I've seen either on TikTok or just come up in people that I follow, but also some things that I have reflected on as well. We've just released the recent Hot Desk episode. This is a new segment that we've brought to the podcast. This last episode was featuring Lola Berry, my lovely friend. We get into some Hollywood highlights, horror stories, and some hot topics. So if you haven't already listened to that one, go back and listen to that. But there is a theory that I've seen. I think this is actually, it's been derived from TikTok. And look, TikTok may not be the most credible source, but I do like the analogy. So it's called the burnt toast theory. And basically what this theory is about is that if you burn your toast in the morning, you basically have to throw it out and then you have to redo your toast, which adds an extra, let's say, 5 minutes to your morning routine and therefore makes your whole day run 5 minutes later than it would. And I guess the theory and the idea behind it is that there might have been something that you needed to miss by 5 minutes in that sense. So I'll give you a bit of a story to explain this. So back in the day when I used to be an actor, I actually booked a role on Kath and Kim. If you are not Australian, you probably don't know this show, but this is a big Australian television show, comedy show starring Glenn Robbins, and it is called Kath and Kim. I booked a role on this show and I had the filming date, the shoot date all set up, but then I had a family wedding come up on the same day, same time as my shoot date for the show. And I tried to move it. I tried to get my filming times changed. Obviously, you know, production doesn't really work around one actor's specific schedule. And so that didn't really work. But the director of the show, Kevin Carlin, I believe it was, really wanted me in this role. They really tried hard to work around the schedule, but I couldn't get it to line up with the wedding. And it was a family wedding. So I, you know, sort of wanted to attend it. It was a bit of a decision. I feel like maybe a lot of actors may have just done the role instead and took the job because, as you know, if you are an actor, sometimes jobs are far and few between, but I decided to go to the wedding and not take the role, which was unfortunate because I feel like I would have really enjoyed filming on that show. However, so the wedding happened, we did all the bits and pieces, and then later that day, maybe it was even possibly the late news, because by the time I got back from the wedding, it was probably late news, that what I had figured out is that if you do live in Melbourne, you know what I'm talking about. There was a big fire in the Burnley Tunnel, which is this big tunnel that runs through the city. And I think 3 people died or something. There was a car crash. I think a truck exploded. Something happened in that tunnel and there was a big fire. It was not good and people died, basically. And what I figured out was if I had taken the role on Kath and Kim, I would have probably been driving through that tunnel to get to the shoot location at the time that that accident had happened. So in my mind, I was thinking to myself, well, lucky I didn't take the role because had I been driving through the tunnel, I could have ended up in a nice big truck fire and possibly died. I mean, that probably wouldn't have happened, but it could have potentially happened, more likely so, if I had been going to set instead of going to a wedding down on the Mornington Peninsula. So that's the idea about the burnt toast theory, that something might happen that might seem like it's not so great, but then it turns out to be a good thing because it saved you from something else that would have happened. So I think it's a great analogy. I think there's other ways that you can describe it, but that's the burnt toast theory. So when something, quote unquote, negative or could be perceived as being negative happens, try to look at it in a positive perspective because it may be saving you from something and or redirecting you somewhere else. I really love the way that this theory described it. The other theory that I really love, and I have come across this on social media, however, it's not a TikTok theory. This is by Mel Robbins, who is also a coach and an author. She has what's called the let them theory, which is all about let people be who they want to be, do what they want to do, and try not to project how you want them to be onto them. So the example that she gives, and she gives a really great example, is that her son, I think, was going to prom and they had all of his friends over at their house. The girls were in beautiful dresses. They were all dressed to the nines to go to prom. And then she was asking, well, where have you booked to go to dinner? Because you obviously have to eat before you go to prom. And he was saying, well, we haven't booked anywhere. And she was freaking out saying, what do you mean? You haven't made a reservation anywhere? How can you fit 20 people into a restaurant or wherever if you haven't made a reservation? And he was sort of saying, well, we'd probably just go down to the local taco place or whatever. I am paraphrasing this story, so I may get some of the details wrong, but the general gist of it is pretty much it, right? So we're going to go down to the local, let's say, taco place. And then it started pouring down rain. And then Mel was saying, well, you guys need umbrellas. What about your shoes? You're going to get, you know, all your nice shoes are going to get muddy and all those things. And the girls' dresses are going to be all wet and everything. And then how are you just going to go down and randomly see if this taco place has space for 20 people dressed up? And then she was fretting. She's giving herself a heart attack, basically stressing and worrying about all of this stuff that they hadn't organized. And then her daughter sort of tapped her on the shoulder and said, just let them. You know, if they want to go to the taco place and they want to get their dresses messed up or their shoes or whatever, they want to be in the rain, let them. I mean, it's their prom. You know, it's their experience of it. They can just let them do it how they want to do it. And she instantly felt like relieved in a way because it kind of untangled her emotionally from the situation, but also from her expectations of how she thought their prom should be or what she thought that should look like for them and how they should be experiencing the prom. I just really love this theory because if you apply that to any person, circumstance in your life, particularly people, I feel, a lot of the time we place our expectations on other people. So we project that onto other people. We think that they should behave in the way that we would if we were in that situation, or we think that they should make certain decisions that we would if we were in that situation. But if you just let them, then it really just untangles you emotionally, and it's not really about you. It's their life. They can live their life how they like to. If they want to have, you know, muddy shoes or wet dresses and they don't mind and they want to go eat tacos and just kind of go with the flow, let them. I mean, what difference does it make to you, right? So I really love that story. I loved her telling that story, but also I just really love the premise of the let them theory because it just so removes your entanglement from other people and your expectation. It just allows them, firstly, you just allow them to be them and do what they want to do, but also it just removes that tie for you as well. And it just removes all of that anxiety or stress or worry that you might be feeling because they're not doing it the way that you want them to do it. It's really none of your business in the nicest way possible, right? And I think you would feel the same if someone was telling you how to experience something or how to do something or how to live your life. You would just probably be like, yeah, back off, like take it down a notch. I just want to do my life the way that I want to do it. So it's the same thing, just in reverse, right? So the let them theory, I really love it. This is from Mel Robbins. And the third thing I wanted to touch on this week was, well, I did a lot of reflecting because I just spoke to Lols, and Lols is in LA at the moment doing the whole acting thing, living out her Hollywood dream. And of course, the funny thing about Lola and I is that we obviously met more in the wellness space. We met years and years ago, and we kind of cross over because Lols has been in the wellness space for a really long time. She's a nutritionist, an author. She's released a shit ton of books, cooking books, yoga books, all that kind of stuff. But now she's crossed over into acting, whereas I've done it in the reverse. So I started my career more as an actor and then moved into wellness and media in this realm. So we've kind of done the flip of each other. But what I love to see is that she's actually doing her LA dream, her Hollywood dream, which I've already been there and done that. And so I'm so excited for her to be able to do that. But it made me reflect on those times when I was in LA, because for me, I was there very young and they were very formative years for me. So my early 20s was when I was living in LA. It was a pretty scary time for me actually, because it was sort of the first time that I had, I guess, been on my own. I was living with my then boyfriend, so my partner at the time, we were living together, but I hadn't really lived anywhere on my own. So LA was all me by myself as a young girl, young actress. And LA was really a time where I felt, even acting, when I look back at it now, it really just was a tool for me to discover who I was. And of course, you know, when you're in your 20s, you're learning all about yourself, you're figuring out who you are, you're having new experiences. And it was awesome. A lot of challenging and hard times during those LA times, but I loved every minute of it. And this is one lesson that I learned during those times, because I spent a lot of time alone in LA as well. And it allowed me to get to know myself very well. And it allowed me to see what I wanted for my life, but also what I didn't want for my life at the time. And I touched on this in my episode with Lols about sometimes it's hard to date an actor. Not everyone can date an actor because you have to deal with some things that not everyone has to deal with. And my ex-partner at the time, he found it quite hard to deal with a lot of the stuff that comes with dating an actor. Firstly, we're all over the shop in terms of where we are. So when you're doing the LA thing, you are traveling around a bit. You're not really based anywhere really. I lived in LA and then I would come back to Melbourne for a little bit. Then I'd go back to LA, come back to Melbourne for a bit. So I was always in and out of town. So there wasn't much stability in terms of movement and location for my career. But also, as I touched on in my episode with Lols, when you have to do things like kiss other actors on set or on screen, that can also be really confronting for people, especially if you are not in the entertainment industry. And I totally get it. If you're not a creative, you're not an actor, and it's just not really your jam. Obviously, I totally understand if that's not for you, because it's not for a lot of people to see your partner kissing somebody else on screen. I think if you're with another actor, it's much easier because you kind of get it and you probably do it as well. But my ex-partner was not a creative. He was not an actor. I definitely do not think that he liked it very much. And while I was in LA, obviously spending a lot of time alone, having a lot of self-discovery time, I realized that this relationship probably wasn't going to be beneficial for both of us and what we both wanted for our lives moving forward. So that was difficult because we'd been together at that point. When I first went to LA, we'd been together already for 6.5 years. We were well and truly committed to each other or you know, in a serious relationship. And so it did take me quite a while, but eventually, you know, we did split up. And looking back, it was 100% the right decision to make. But there was something around that time that was really, it was my, you know, intuition that was saying, this is just not going to sit very well. It's just not going to, I don't see how this is going to really move forward. And even though my relationship was, it brought me a lot of security. It brought me a lot of stability. Obviously, you know, being in a relationship, you have feelings for the person that you're with, but in saying that, my intuition was telling me that this is not going to be right moving forward. So that decision was really hard to make, and it took a while for that to play out and for us to actually split up. But it, in hindsight, even reading back on my journals from LA, it now when I look back at it, I just think 100%, I'm so glad that you listened to your intuition. However, it did take a while and I tried to ignore it for so long. And I think obviously when you're in a relationship, sometimes you have the thought that you want, that you're thinking, oh, maybe this isn't right. But maybe you just kind of write it off as being like, oh, I'm just going to see how this goes. Maybe I'm just thinking, I don't know, a bit askew at the moment. Maybe it's just, I'm going through something at the moment. You know, especially when you've been with someone for a long time, you're not just going to make a rash decision in a very short period of time to talk about possibly splitting up. You give it some time to really make sure that you're sure about the decision, right? So it did take quite a while from the initial thought that I had to when we actually split up. I do think as well, one of the things that I used to say was that if I did have a regret in my life, and I try not to, but this is one thing that I think, I wish that I had, if I had known what I know now, I wish that we had done it sooner. But that's only because I know what's happened now. But I also think that you've just got to listen to your intuition. And I think one of the things that I also hear a lot of experts talk about is that it's not that we don't have instincts or we don't know what our intuition is saying. Most of the time we do know what it's saying. But the second piece to it is that we actually don't listen and we don't trust it and we question it. And then we go round and round in circles thinking about it. And then, you know, it takes a long time, but oftentimes we don't trust it. I think the key lesson here is to trust your gut, trust your intuition, even if it seems illogical. And I know that's hard, and especially for men specifically, because men are really logical creatures. They think a lot differently to women. And I do feel that women tend to have a greater sense and bond to their intuition. Men tend to think more logically and rationally and work it through. But everybody knows what it feels like to have that gut feeling that something isn't quite right or something's not quite right here, you know, that feeling. So to listen to that and trust it and take action on it. And oftentimes it can be really scary. I was shit scared because I've never really known adult life without my ex-partner. So it was very scary at the time. But in hindsight, obviously I know it was the right decision to make. So that's the third takeaway, a lesson from LA, I guess, is to trust your intuition and act on it. Trust those instincts and act on it. So those are my key takeaways, my insights for the week, guys. Hopefully this has helped you in some way. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, make sure you do, like I say, every week. There's so many of you guys listening. You're active listeners, you're engaged listeners, but you haven't subscribed yet. So just make sure you click that subscribe button. You'll get the podcast as soon as it drops. But also it helps us grow the podcast for you so we can make more of these episodes and give you more of these enlightening moments. We hope you're having enlightening moments, but also with our hot desk just to lighten up your week as well. And obviously learn more from our guests when we have our guest interviews as well. So thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time on the Rachel J Podcast.